Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good week, good month, good year. I'm Bishop Randy Dean here with you for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I have discovered that fear is used as a political ploy. Fear is used as a religious scam. But only love is a value that can be trusted. Only love is the value you can stand resolutely with. So when I hear political values sold as fear, I ignore them because I'm looking for love. When I hear religious scams that are being foisted out there to gather the fearful, the trembling, the nervous, I remember the words of Jesus when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek." He didn't say, "Blessed are those who have been terrified into some kind of embrace of my kingdom." He said, "Blessed are the poor." And, you know, on that level, we should never take advantage of those who are poor enough in spirit that they're afraid, and by using fear tactics, we gather them in. Let's be a people high and above those kinds of BS values. Let's be people of love, the highest, strongest, most trustworthy value in the human experience is love. So today I want to talk to you about healthy theology. Yes, a big word, theology, but it's not so hard to reach for and understand. Theo means God, ology means knowledge, a knowledge of God. How do we know God? In what way are we coming to know God? And I have come to know God, and I'm sure some of you can already hear what's coming. I have come to know God as love. God is love. God isn't just loving. God doesn't have love as an action in God's life. God is love. If God had hair, his hair would be love. If God had eyes and a nose and a mouth and ears, all of that would be love. Every part of God is love. Every image of God is love. The image of God is love. 1 John, the little epistles in the New Testament teach us that God is love and love is God, and those who dwell in love dwell in God, and those who dwell in God dwell in love. The symbiosis, the dance of love and God is an equal partner dance. So when I'm looking for God, I'm looking for love. And when I find love, I have found God. So to that end, to know God, theology, to have healthy theology, we must look for what? All right, I'll give you three guesses, and the first two are wrong. Love. We must search for love. Now, to that end, I have Love's Creed, something I wrote years ago, and I live by, I embrace, I repeat it to myself often as I can, and especially when I get irritated with political scams or religious scams, and I'm letting myself slump into those shadows, and I do, just like you do, I have to remind myself with Love's Creed. Love's Creed calls me up and higher than where I've been slouching around in my lazy approach to the world. So here's Love's Creed. I'll read it through in total. I'll go back through it and offer it to you like vows at a wedding altar. Here it is. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed as I've crafted it, and it's something I've given to myself as a personal creed, as a personal promise to myself, to my wife, to my children, to my grandchildren, to my future, to my legacy going forward. This is how I want folks to know that's what Randy Dean was all about. Why? Because that's who God is all about. And I want to get as close to God as I know how to be. There are other paths, I know. There are other ways people seek to express God. And I get it. I get it. We're all stretching and reaching. I get it. But my personal passion my personal journey, my personal pilgrimage is the love pilgrimage. I've said this 1,000 times right here. And by the way, we're coming up on our 3rd anniversary here on the No BS Bishop. I'm just absolutely stoked about that. In October of 2019, we started this journey of the No BS Bishop. And it's been, for me, this notion that we are fully able, fully capable of being people of love. And I knew then, and as I know now, we're called to keep unpacking this magnificent treasure we call love. No life is ever going to finish with it all figured out, but every life is called to at least get on the journey, to stay on a pilgrimage, to run the marathon. So this is who I am. I'm reaching for love. And I understand that it's going to take all of my life and all of your life and all of our lives combined to come to a functional and formidable definition of love. Hear that carefully. Functional. I don't mean that we should ever substitute dysfunctionality or enabling or codependency for love. That is not love. Somebody said to me not too many days ago, well, we need tough love. And I understand what we're saying there. I really do. And I've used that phrase, but I have stopped using it because I want people to understand there aren't varying levels of love in terms of how you describe it. I believe love is tough all by itself. I don't have to describe it as tough. I believe that real love, genuine love, authentic love, love that is fully unpacked and lived, doesn't have to be exercised as tough. It's understood. It's tough. It's strong. It's mighty. It's deep. It's wide. It's high. It's wide. Love by itself is powerful and tough all by itself without having to put a descriptor on it. So I said to you when we started here today that I want to talk to you about healthy theology, because I believe a healthy theology sees love as the primary point of reference. A healthy theology that will lead us to love all human beings more deeply, more completely, and toward the miracle of restoration. Oh yes, we are every one of us in a restoration process. We are every one of us being restored, stored up again with the values and purposes for which we were born. To be restored is to recognize that some of my storehouse has been depleted. Some of my storehouse has been robbed. When we've been just tragically disappointed by love, and love can do that to you, and then we go into a grieving season where we work out the death of love on some level. It may be a literal death of someone you deeply loved, and then grief just comes in like a tsunami. And we weep and we rage and we just work through all the stages of grief. Listen, I understand all of that. And we are each one of us being invited to the miracle of restoration of our love, however long it takes. Don't get in a hurry with grief, by the way. Let grief take its good, sweet time so that you're able to weep your way toward strength. I believe any theology, whether intentionally or otherwise, that will lead you or me to a disgust or a disregard of any human being or of all of humanity, that's broken. I don't reach for that kind of theology. My knowledge of God, which is what theology means, my knowing God says, I want to know how every human being is worthy of restoration. Every human being is worthy of love. Every human being born, every baby, every girl, every boy, every man and woman born on this earth, past, present, or future, they are worthy of the love that is God. If theology takes me in a disgust or some kind of marginalization or disregard of humanity, I believe that's broken at best. So I'm reaching for a healthy theology. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love believes all things, hopes all things. That's what love's all about. Believes all things, hopes all things. Love isn't shrinking back from humanity. Love is reaching toward humanity. Love is recognizing that humanity is this mass of this collection of wounded warriors and just bruised and beaten, children of all ages, by the way. I'm fond of saying there's a 12-year-old boy on the inside of me trying to get out, and that 12, but I recognize that 12-year-old boy was beat up and bruised and bullied and struggled with life. I just told my wife yesterday, it's a miracle that I survived my own self-destructive ways. I'm talking about even when I was 10, 11, and 12, I felt so alone and so dejected and rejected. The bullying that was going on around me was violent. It was without reserve. There was no pulling back on it. I mean, complete strangers in my neighborhood spit on me. I mean, covered me in spit. As an example, I mean, just one example I can give you. And to that end, I found myself feeling worthy of nothing less than just being spit on, metaphorically and quite unfortunately physically. I'm the product, though, of a discovery of love. When my heart ignited in faith in God and Jesus Christ, my heart ignited not by a Bible verse, my heart ignited by the word love. And I understand that from that point forward, that genesis of my own faith was love. I understand that all human beings at some level, whether extremely bullied or just sad or struggling in their life, all human beings are worthy of and reaching toward love, which is why I keep saying I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked in anything and everything that is love. A healthy theology is based in that. A healthy theology that keeps us pacing ourselves, rather than trying to compete with others or compete even with ourselves, that just paced. I'm paced. You know, I'm like you. I have days when I see things that are disgusting, that are revolting in behaviors around me. I'm like you. I'm not blind to the idiosyncrasies and the weirdness that can be expressed in human pain. But there's the point. I recognize that idiosyncrasies and stuff that comes out in so many vulgar or raging ways, those are the issues of a broken heart. Somewhere in that human's life, there's been a brokenness that's never been repaired. Somewhere in that human's life, there's been a love that's been stolen or thrown away or taken away. And that human being, that precious human being, has never been repaired. They've not been restored. And remember what I said, a healthy theology is a theology that reaches for the restoration of all human beings. Because healthy theology is based in love, and love believes all things, hopes all things. That's what love's about. Love has this trajectory upward at all times. And I'm saying this again, based on my previous mention, I've failed. I've fallen. I get tired like you do. I get disgusted like you do. But my altitude dips, I recognize, okay, it's time to pull up. It's time to pull back the stick and get this plane aloft again. Let's catch the waves of wind to pull the aerodynamics of my life upward, not continually downward. The downward spiral into hate, the downward spiral into disgust, the downward spiral into divisiveness, the downward spiral in accusation, the downward spiral into the us versus them. We're the good guys. They're the bad guys. We wear the white hats. They wear the black hats. That downward spiral is so destructive. And the litany of human history has been littered with the pain of that downward spiral. Fortunately, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, the arc of the world, the arc of history arcs toward justice, and I would add it arcs toward love. Yes, we have our dark periods. In fact, we even have periods of history called the Dark Ages. And I think that in many, many seasons, I mean like M-I-N-I, small slices of seasons, we've had dark ages along the way. But it doesn't end in darkness, does it? There's a proverb in the Bible that says, "O watchman, what do you say of the night?" You know, in the day of the writing of scriptures, they didn't have a satellite newscast going on 24/7. They didn't have a social media. They just had people on the watch through the night, watching over their communities, their villages, their families. "O watchman, what do you say of the night?" And the watchman calls back, "Sunrise cometh, the light cometh, the dawn is coming." So see, darkness may endure for the night, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is always a morning. There is always a rising of the sun. One of my favorite little hymns, it's a small and mini hymn, it's a contemporary hymn, and I believe born of a Catholic faith, and that is that he will lift you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you shine like the sun. Listen, we are all of us reaching for the dawn, aren't we? To me, the dawn is one thing, and you know what it is. The dawn is love. Yes, we may weep for hatred. We may weep for the death of love. We may weep for the robbery, the thievery, the burglary of our love. But weeping may last for the night, but joy is coming. The sun is rising. And yes, it may take like, oh my goodness, it may take like a million years in your emotional state. But hold on tight, loved one. Hold on tight. Don't give up. The sun is coming up. It will arise. You know, I'm a space geek. I've told you that here many times before. I love everything about outer space. And I've put in just my own little casual study of it. And I've discovered this, that since the speed of light is 186,000 miles per hour, per second, excuse me, it's faster than per hour, per second, 186,000 miles per second. Remember that even when the sun has risen, it's going to take 8 minutes to hit your optic nerve. Remember that the next time it feels like all darkness is just swamping. It's not getting better. Remember, the speed of light's coming, and it may take another 8 minutes after 8 hours of darkness. It may take another 8 minutes for that power of light to hit your optic nerve, but oh, baby, it's coming. Fear not. The sun has risen somewhere, and 8 minutes ago, it left the 10 million degrees Fahrenheit of the sun's surface. And when it hits your body, when it hits your eye, it'll be the perfect temperature that you need in the moment. It'll be the perfect illumination of your need in the moment. I'm convinced that whatever the question may be about human existence, whatever the question may be about our political statures, about our religious statures, I'm convinced that as the church in the 21st century here, especially in the United States, is struggling with its downward spiral, the numbers are irrefutable. The numbers cannot be ignored. The numbers of all churches, I mean all churches. Now, some single groups may be different. Some individual denominations and fellowships may have different experiences. But in total, in general, across the board in our nation, the numbers of church attendance, a church membership, are dropping like a rock. People are not counting church as their regular membership routine. And as such, I am convinced there's one answer to it, and it isn't membership drives. It's not more donuts and coffee. It can't hurt. I'm sitting here with a cup of coffee in my hand right now, but I got to tell you, those are not the answers. Those are little refreshments. Those are little sidelines. Those are trinkets. But the greatest treasure, the gold, is love. So we as a people, as a nation, as a church, as a people of faith, as a people of struggling toward faith, the one value that must be our premium value. And I want to say this to somebody who's listening to me now, and you may say, "I don't believe in God." Hey, look, I've been there, and I understand that, and I meet people all the time who don't believe in God. But here's what I know. I know whoever you are, you believe in love. Even if your love's been damaged and beat up, you still believe somewhere down inside of you, in your spiritual DNA, you do believe in love. And as such, I want you to believe in love enough to know that it's worth living through another nighttime waiting for the sunrise to come your way. He will raise you up on eagle's wings and bear you on the breath of dawn. You need to know that that breath of dawn is blowing your way. Whether you believe in God or not, trust me on this. Love is all by itself. Love is credible. Love alone is credible. Hans Urs von Balthasar, a Catholic theologian, said that once. Love is the credible value of the human existence. So here we are. Wobbling, toddling, fighting forward, struggling forward, tripping, reaching. And we are all, I believe, on some level, looking for a healthy theology that will lead us to love ourselves, to love our neighbors, and to love all humans more deeply, completely, and toward the miracle of restoration. Because we know that love, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, love believes all things, hopes all things. We believe we're struggling for that in our life, aren't we? You know, I've had disappointments that as a dad, as a father, when I've watched my children struggle through a broken marriage, it's just heart-wrenching. It's crushing on some levels because I just want to wrap my fully adult child up in my arms and say, oh, baby girl, oh, baby boy, come, let daddy hold you. And I can't do that. They're adults. And they've walked through the crushing disappointment of life's failure to let love win. And I don't mean that somebody lost. I just mean love did not win. And it's crushing, right? You've been there. And as a dad, I've watched both of my kids walk through that. And it's, you just wonder if the sun's ever going to come up, right? But I have discovered the sun does rise. The sun slowly but surely is arcing around toward that sunrise. Rather, I should say the earth is arcing around the sun and bringing sunlight back. You know, right now where you sit, did you know that you're spinning on the axis of the earth at 1,000 miles per hour? The earth is spinning. If you could imagine a basketball on the fingertip of a basketball player spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. Well, that's how the earth is spinning on its axis right now. And here you sit, and your hair isn't even being messed up. And while we're spinning at 1,000 miles per hour on the axis of the earth is also orbiting the sun. Are you ready for this? We're orbiting the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. That's 1,000 times the speed limit on the interstate. We are here as miracles on this beautiful planet. God's holding us here. And all of that spin on the axis and all of that orbit around the sun is to ensure that light comes back. Love comes back. Listen to me carefully, child. Listen to me carefully, mama, daddy, wife, husband, son, daughter, listen to me carefully. Love comes back. The spin of disappointment and darkness will not last forever, though it may seem that it will. Well, I need to conclude today's broadcast, and I want you to do two things with me. And first of all, on this spinning earth, I want you to put your feet flat on the ground, on the floor, sit up straight, and I want you to take a deep breath. Slow yourself down. On the count of three, breathe in as deep as you can and hold it in the foundation of your lung. One, two, three. Here we go. Hold it. And exhale. Learn to do that throughout your day. Slow down the rapid pace of stress and grief. Slow down the rapid pace of disappointment and brokenness. And remind yourself you're still breathing. And let your breathing be gratitude. The second thing we close every No BS Bishop Alive to Love episode with is looking people in the eye. Yep, here it comes. It's about to get weird. I know. And it's going to get weird when you find somebody to do it somewhere. I just did it a few minutes ago. And understand this. Looking people in the eye will make them nervous. It'll make you nervous. And just that alone is a nerve-wracking moment. But do add one thing. Add the three most magical charmed words in the human language. I love you. It is refreshing. It is healing. It is strengthening. It is surprising. It is shocking. And it's the very thing we all need. Somebody to look us in the eye and say, I love you. I want you to know you're listening to this guy who has spent 50 years looking at theology of all kinds and descriptions. I've been reading, I've been searching, I've been on podcasts, I've listened to tapes and CDs, radio, TV broadcasts, and in all of my search, I keep looking for love. And then the old U2 rock song said, I still haven't found what I've been looking for. And I'm telling you right now, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, but that doesn't mean I'm going to quit. At 69, I am going to keep at it. After 50 years as a pastor, bishop, a minister, I am going to stay on it. I am on this planet to discover the magnitude and the majesty of love. I invite you to join me. Would you please? Let's go about all of our days, all of our weeks, all of our months and our years as people on an arc upward. Yes, there are moments where we plateau. Yes, there are moments when we stumble and fall. Yes, there are times when it seems like we just cannot do anything right. But I'm inviting you to join me on a no BS value for life. No more BSing. No more trying to convince people of something that isn't true. Let's make love true. Let's make love true. True in us, through us, to us, for us, and for all others. Because that's healthy theology. That's what a theology looks like when it finally arrives at the apex of who God really is. All right, now I want you to go out there and do something beautiful. Be a person of love. Let the light of the love of God shine in you brightly, so brightly that it'll shock you and it'll shock others into feeling good again. Do something beautiful because you know, right? Oh, baby. Oh, my. Ugly is getting done to death. Let's rise and shine and be the people of beauty. Go out there and do it. Happy trails, y'all. It's been a blessing to be with you today.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.